selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. You know, okay, it's actually just so funny because what I love about Shopify is no matter how huge and massive you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control. Yes, daddy. And take your business to the next level because we're business women. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub. That's shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase. Shopify.com/bookclub.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste. Or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products. Because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Celebrity Book Club.
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone, and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54. It's
Celebrity Book Club.
Come read it while it's hot.
Celebrity Book Club.
Tell your secrets, we won't talk.
Celebrity Book Club.
No boys are allowed.
Celebrity Book Club. Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hey, dude.
Hey, dude. Okay, so this week we are doing a fucking book by one of the most awesome fucking dudes in the entire Marvel universe.
One of the most fucking dope-ass straight men in the extended straight man universe.
If you open the dictionary of dope-ass men, he's the front page.
I mean, he invented, I think, a lot of personalities, or maybe he just sort of like crystallized a personality that was already in existence.
I think it was already in existence, and he gave the kind of the mascot to that personality.
Yes, he's the mascot for a generation. Of course, we're talking about Seth Rogen. And we'll get into whether it's Rogen or Rogan. Obviously, it's more fun to say Rogen. Because that sort of softer J is a sluttier, gayer way to say it. And I think that we should also maybe announce what else is happening on this episode.
Yeah, it's kind of a huge first because we're doing famous, straight, awesome guy, Rogan. We thought to invite...
maybe the awesomest, definitely the straightest.
Guy we know.
Some people think
he's gay, but he's straight.
But he's totally not. Which I wouldn't think. I wouldn't say that's something that people would say about Seth Rogen.
He's straight, and I want to set the record straight to say that our guest is straight.
Totally straight. Please welcome to the stage one of the straightest people, legendary friend and DJ Daniel Fisher,
also known as DJ Physical Therapy. Woo! Wicca, wicca.
Hey, best friends. Am I allowed to say that?
You actually are.
You actually literally can say, hey, best friends. Hey,
well,
that's okay.
Hey, best friends.
Now, Daniel, you are Jewish.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out how few straight people do you guys know that you had to invite me on as your token straight guest. But then I realized you invited me because I'm Jewish.
Yeah. Well,
it was a double whammy. Jewish straight guy.
What? No, you're not just our insurance policy against getting labeled as anti-Semitic. You're way more than that. You have an insightful view into culture and music. Not that Seth Rogen has anything to do with music.
Yeah, famous music guy, Seth Rogen.
But also, like, you're from the suburbs.
Yeah, it's about suburban Jewish male white guy stoner culture.
Yeah.
I mean, which does apply to me, and I do have some notes about that, but I just want to say, what is this really about? Is this really about you guys feeling guilty for not having me on the Steve Aoki episode?
Are we guilty or are you sad?
I'm fine. I'm totally secure in whether or not I'm on
secure.
Or off podcasts.
The red table is open, and in many ways, yeah. After the Steve Aoki episode, I thought to myself, you know what? Our friend Daniel would have had a lot of insight into this person's career. Because of not just the cake throwing, but obviously DJing itself and remixing and production and festivals and getting booked and all of that.
Because, you know, some of that stuff seemed like a little bit of a mystery to you and you guys were trying to parse it out.
Yet,
but
and yet, this is not an investigative podcast. And I think at the end of the day, sometimes people enjoy to watch us fumble through the dark and
yes.
to sort of watch us discover
Make
because
mistakes.
They relate to that. You know, we are human. As Tyra Banks says, perfection is boring, human is beautiful.
Well, I'm glad your corporate overlords finally let you have a guest on with less than 10,000 followers.
If you would just be honest, Red Table stuff with me for a second, because I just really, and then we'll move on to the book. When that Steve Aoki episode was released, what was your first feeling?
Were you positive so much and just being like, oh, I would have said that?
No, I mean, I genuinely felt like I would have had things to contribute. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a funny episode and I enjoyed it. So,
okay.
Okay. Well, this edition okay. of the Red Table Talk is closed. Yeah. I'm painting the red yeah. Wayfair table white again. We can go back to regular table.
Okay. So, Daniel, would you mind? I mean, tell us a little bit about your background as a suburban Jewish male.
Well, I grew up in suburban New Jersey, which I guess is probably in a lot of ways similar to suburban Vancouver.
Which is where Seth Rogen yes. is from.
I know, you always forget that he's Canadian.
I mean, that's the thing about Canadian people is like part of their whole identity is you forgetting that they're Canadian. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to be remembering it too much unless they're Celine Dion and they're like, French Canadian. And it's like such an important piece. It's just like Bieber and Alanis, like, don't need you to be constantly thinking that they're Canadian.
It's something you kind of find out, like, after you've known someone for a while.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you're Canadian?
Yeah.
Like, I guess we're not friends.
Yeah. It's a sort of more of a surprise. So you're from New Jersey, where Seth Rogen's dad is also from.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there's a lot of lines being drawn. And I also was a stoner. Although we veered past in that I spent 2 years being a non-practicing bisexual.
He never gets to that. So his book is very, it's a memoir, I'll say, for our listeners. But it's also a series
essays,
of
funny
essays. Fucking just like funny ass essays and shit and like cool shit that happened.
I listened to it as a book on tape. So it was so not even a book at all. It was just like a stand-up special that was 6 hours long.
Yeah.
I too listened on tape, which was fun. I did enjoy it, but I feel like it's that same thing's happened to me where it's like, I'm just hearing him being like, fucking dope as fuck. And
yeah,
some stuff
kind of,
is lost.
Like reading the book, as someone of reading experience, it was like every page was being like, and then like, I thought it had the most intense pot brownie I've ever had, but then dude, yeah. some brownies really hit you. That being said, Barack Obama is the man. Just be yeah. like, okay, sort of bringing it back to your kind of mainstream liberal perspective. Like, it was always just like, and let me just remind y'all that I worship.
The veer to politics Obama. In the last third of the book is so random.
And also his like semi-woke parts that he has to put in where he's like, don't get me wrong, I seriously do respect sex workers, but like, how ridiculous is pornography?
The wokery throughout the book, it's when it's so interjected, and you just be like, and listen, in many ways, like anti-weed stigma has been used to oppress people of color, and that's yet another reason why I like to smoke weed. And you're just like, okay,
well, it's just like
you're a stoner.
The book is like 65% just him telling like the real life stories that inspired Superbad, and then like 20% his actual career, and then 30% like him talking about trying to get Jack Dorsey to like ban Republicans
Trump.
From Twitter.
Yeah, he just gets like full Kathy Griffin towards the end.
I wanted to do something on this pod that I've never done in honor of Seth Rogen.
What are you going to toke?
On toking.
Oh my God. The lack of professionalism.
I'm taking, dude, it's.
That better be oregano, which is what they use in movies.
Oh, lack of professionalism? I guess you didn't read the book. For generations, according to Seth Rogen, weed has actually been helping people like get in contact with their emotions.
So the weed philosophy part, he's just like, and here's like what I think about it. Like, no one says that if you wear shoes that your feet like aren't getting like their most authentic experience of the world. Like, they just help your feet go through the world. So like, weed helps your brain. They're just shoes for the brain, which I was kind of like, okay.
That was such a stoner analogy. I mean, just being
he's
like
a stoner.
I mean, he's a stoner, yes. And then he goes into his really anti-alcohol thing. He's like, what if I told you about a drug where you felt awesome for an hour, dizzy for 3 hours, blacked out, and then felt bad the next day? I was like,
it seems like he's really bad at drinking. Like, he makes it sound not fun at all.
Would y'all say that's a Jewish trait not to try?
I think that my Jewish mother could go shot for shot with your non-Jewish mother.
She could go shot for shot with all our mothers combined.
No, dude, Daniel's mom not only
puts
can
it
she
away.
Fuck away, not only can Polly's she fucking get it, she's a fucking beast. Like, I've done Edward Maker's Mark hands with her.
You've got a handle of Makers
in each hand. And we just went shot for shot for shot.
And if you could bleep her name, because she is a titan of industry.
No, but dude, last time, I mean, I feel like I haven't ripped a bong in so many years. And then this summer, I literally ripped a bong with your mom because she peer pressured me into it.
I know. And now your mom is so Seth Rogen.
I mean,
your whole family is very Seth Rogen.
And I think this has to do with why Seth Rogen now in his like late phase of this career is this kind of like hot, twee, like mainstream stoner guy who's starting. He's a weed entrepreneur.
He just launched Houseplant.
You know, because
fucking Vaz line.
You no longer have to be counterculture to like be a totally smoochy,
to be Jewish. Now
Jewish
it's
stoner.
Mainstream.
Like, he could be a senator.
He absolutely could be a senator.
Did you guys see that Seth Rogen, Katherine Heigl movie that was like their post? This is their post Knocked Up movie where she was like a politician. He becomes her bodyguard.
I always meant to see that.
No, that was not with Katherine Heigl. That was with Charlize Theron.
Yeah. Oh.
And I almost watched it on a plane.
Honestly, dude, pretty funny.
Nice. No,
yeah,
movies.
Fuck yeah. Okay, stop. Top Seth Rogen movies. Let's go, dudes.
The way I like haven't
I
seen
I can't
any
think
of
a single one. I mean, I watched Pineapple Express when I was very depressed a couple of months ago. And
more like Pineapple Depressed.
It wasn't as funny.
I feel like those movies, when you first saw them, it was like, because he is kind of our age, or maybe a little bit older, and it was us being like,
he's
definitely
39.
Older.
Okay, cool. Fuck yeah. Okay. We're fucking babies, dude.
Well, because he was talking about September 11th, and I was like, wait, is he our age? But then it was like, he was a little bit older than us on September 11th.
I guess there was a moment when his oeuvre started, and like, you know, the Knocked Up community and Superbad and all those movies coming out, that it was like, it was the first time that like pot had been mainstreamed in for our like generation. Like Cheech and Chong and like stuff had happened in like previous decades, but I feel like it was the first time
millennial stoner kings.
The millennial stoner.
Well, but I mean, post Half-Baked.
And also, those were like cult movies.
Yes.
For like me and my suburban stoner friends would seek out movies like Half-Baked, Idle Hands, like Dazed and Confused. But
remember that, what was it called? Grandma, what was that like?
Oh,
Grandma's
that movie's
Boy?
So funny. Grandma's
we
Boy?
We thought that we saw that in high school. That's
yeah.
We thought that
was rare. That was Johnny Knoxville. Also, but can we just talk for a second about how Stephen, I mean, this is just you being a repressed gay, and Daniel, thank God you kind of missed this era of Stephen being like so crazy and high on his horse and anti-weed. And like once, like when you caught me and your brother smoking weed, and you like flipped out and started screaming and crying.
Wait, this was when
loser.
And this was when I said you're going to be a
girlfriend
not
having
basement living.
And
loser.
You weren't that far off.
Okay, ironic. Well, actually, you and my brother both have girlfriends right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that.
So I guess you guys had the last laugh.
Yep, but then you became a fucking stoner and you named a bong Elaine.
Is that insane that I went from being the most angry anti-stoner to buying a bong in the fucking West Village?
Whoa.
Freshman year of college. Crazy. And naming it Elaine because me and my two speed mates, we were like, we're George and Jerry and Kramer.
Daniel, I feel like you were so much more of an accomplished stoner than I was in high school. Like, you knew where to get weed.
I was a stoner in a way where, like, that was my identity.
I mean, you, like, literally are Seth Rogen. Because he also talks about just, like, accidentally dealing shrooms. And I feel like you were also, like, getting caught with pills. And then, like, getting in such trouble with your, like, Jewish parents who love you to death. And would just, like, never actually punish you at all. And, like, they were fake mad at you. But, like, it was totally fine. And they just, like, somehow actually, like, sued another parent.
And, like, and you were, like, 4 feet tall, which I feel like, but also still, like, badass. The same time you were like fucking that chill 4 foot tall guy.
I mean, I was super fucking chill. Yeah. But we're all like kind of reformed stoners because I feel like we all used to hang out and get stoned every fucking day, and now we each smoke like one hit every—
Are you talking about the three of us or you and your— Yes. —squad from high school?
No, the three of us.
Oh,
yeah.
We're all definitely reformed. I mean, I used to be crazy addicted.
I don't know if anyone from my squad from high school still smokes weed, so.
They're all pretty serious, like lawyers, no?
Yep. Except for me.
I mean, you seduced me as a friend with weed, and I was like, who the fuck is this dude just coming over, bringing over an eighth? Like.
And that was very manipulative of me, and I apologize for that.
And now we're back to the red table. How you peer pressured me. But yeah, I mean, already I feel like this one hit of weed that I did take, and I'm not afraid because stop stigmatizing weed. I'm like definitely enough blazed I need to be from just one hit.
Dude, Lily, you're not even fucking making sense right now.
You're freaking out.
You're slurring your words. You're paranoid as all fuck. You're shoving combos into your mouth. You need help. You literally need help. It's not cool, dude. This is an office.
Okay.
Okay. I want to talk about also how Seth is— this is the prototype. Like, the way he talks about hip hop is—
I also have an insight.
Please, sure.
We're sort of in the middle of the point. Sorry. So typically on the podcast, we do let hosts speak, and we do kind of defer to the host. You are a guest in this space, both in the queer sense and in the podcast sense.
I thought this was like a producer meeting break.
No, I was
since resumed the narrative of the pod.
My bad. That's why you need the red recording light.
Yeah, Lily, please continue. Yeah.
Thank you. I was saying is this is a little the prototype of like white stoner guy who thinks he is like the coolest person on earth for listening to Ice Cube, Tribe Called Quest, but also thinks it's ironic a little bit too.
Yeah.
Where, like, he thinks he's being hilarious, but he's like, I was fucking driving through Israel blasting Tribe Called Quest with my mom. How dope is that?
Yeah. Did you ever? No, Daniel, you famously have never been on Birthright.
No, I refused to go on Birthright because I supported the Palestinian cause from a young age.
Fuck yes. Yeah.
Put that in your woke little pipe and smoke it, Seth.
He didn't mention that at all.
There's this whole Israel section where he's just like, yeah, like, Israel's cool, man.
I mean, that's— I was it. Absolutely lolling that, I guess, like, his host mother or whatever in Israel, like, thought him and his mom were sleeping together.
Oh, wait, that was funny. And he was just like, I put the beds together for you. And then they were like, we're not even going to try and explain to this guy that we're not sleeping
that's
together.
Fucking.
His mom must be, like, so Milfania if, like...
We're going to have to pull up some pics.
She's such a Milfania. I feel like... She's just, like, probably, like, a kooky...
Or Milfowitz, as the case may be.
Milfowitz. And his dad is, like, way more of an activist than him.
Yeah, his dad was, like, always, like, getting angry at, like, the local rich guy for, like, having a rich person event. And then he, like, has this whole scene where, like, the dad, like, yells at someone and gets on the local news. And he was just like, and I looked up to my dad for that. Your dad, I would not say, is a very cantankerous, like...
This is another place where activist. Our stories kind of diverge. Yeah.
You're not actually the same person.
Okay. Oh, also his dad has Tourette's, which I thought was interesting. And he says that he has mild Tourette's.
And then he was like, everyone has Tourette's.
Well, I do think that I do kind of have Tourette's. I wonder.
I agree. I think you do.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So we've all
agreed.
But like, do you think that I have it because I like have twitches or because I talk to myself? Or like, I don't think I'm twitchy. But
I don't
you're
think you're
not twitchy.
You think I'm twitchy?
I don't think you're uncontrollably twitchy, but I sometimes see you like with some kind of pent up like.
Yes. I mean, there's a Kramer-ness to you.
Well, and I was Kramer in the Elaine.
Oh, in your stoner crew?
My stoner crew was the Kramer. Okay.
I mean, maybe I hit up a specialist. Season 3, you're just heavily medicated. No longer.
Lobotomized. The thing about you're talking to yourself, I know, like, studies show that, like...
Dr. Murata.
They're like, actually, if you talk to yourself, you're a genius. And it's like... but I feel like there's a sense where you don't know sometimes that you are even talking to yourself.
Sometimes, though, like, I'll be walking down the street and I'll realize that I'm fully, like... I'm moving my mouth in a way that's, like, very visible. Like, in a full conversation way. And then I'm kind of just like, well, you know what? Fuck it. I don't know these people. They're strangers. Let them think what they want. We have a lot of topics to get through. So, okay. I'm glad we settled that. Daniel, how much money did you get at your bar mitzvah?
Amazing question.
Well, I really don't feel comfortable with this question. I don't know. I feel like my grandma, I remember getting immediately... going to a store and buying Diesel jeans and like a shiny rayon t-shirt with my bar mitzvah money.
Yay.
I was so excited because I had wanted Diesel jeans and my mom was like, $50 for jeans? Like, no fucking way.
And then you were like, bitch, I'm going to buy $200 jeans. Were they so whiskered?
I feel like this is pre-whiskering. Definitely, I want to say just like a boot, general boot cut.
I thought nothing Diesel kind of invented whiskering, but it was like a
general
lighter,
boot.
Not...
But this is like, this would have been like 90...
Yeah, because this is like middle school.
97?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, that is a little bit...
99.
You're born in 89. Your bar mitzvah is when you were 13.
Yeah,
so... do the math. Be 2002.
Okay, so this is 2002.
It's always so weird that you're a year younger than us. It's really crazy.
So they weren't whiskered, but I also went to IKEA and I got a silver bedroom set.
What? Damn. Like,
these were pimp. My awesome pimp bar mitzvah purchases.
There's silver something... sheets and duvet?
No, like a silver bed frame and a silver desk and a silver...
There
like...
is something very like Balkan immigrant, like new money about that, that was your like purchase.
New
of, like,
amazing bed
set. I want to buy
nine
seven
piece
bed set and shiny shirt. Like not video games, not sneakers, not a cool skateboard, like not something more.
Oh, I bought a drum set.
Okay, that is a badass.
So
sounds like you made a lot of money. Bed set, Diesel.
Okay, so you're
drums.
Not going to actually say the number. You're just going
to
let us.
We
do
have
the
to
math.
Do our own math.
Calculate for inflation. 2002 price of drum set. Not different.
You're like, okay, so you got that from Guitar Center, IKEA. Prices at IKEA. We're ordering old IKEA catalogs to see the prices.
I guess the question is it four or five figures? I feel like total, it's probably five figures.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I think a lot of it was just like from my grandma that was just like, you're going to save this.
Right.
And this right. one day.
She's giving you like one piece of Apple stock and like a bond.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's definitely that vibe.
I feel like a lot of little, David's. Little like Jewish boys are getting like one slip of Apple stock from their grandmother.
One thing I want to say about my bar mitzvah experience and how embarrassed I was because my sister was like, yeah, Lily, get ready for seventh grade. Like, you're going to be going to a bar mitzvah every single weekend. Like, get your outfits. And then when I started at BBNN, I got like only invited to two. And that's just a pain I carried with me through seventh grade. Yeah. I like didn't get invited to anyone's.
And would you say that's where your anti-Semitism is rooted?
Probably. That's probably where it started.
Book Club.
This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
You're trying to find a cause for your symptoms.
Achy back, headache, runny nose, itchy eye, wart on my genitals.
So let me guess, you stumbled down a TikTok rabbit hole full of questionable advice from so-called experts.
Suddenly I have cancer? No thank you.
There are better ways to get the answers you want and the care you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet. Though randoms, I love you, and my TikTok addiction, yeah, it stands.
But I'm sorry, Lily, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from some girl in her grandmother's basement in Toronto.
ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
That's right. Ditch the talk, get the doc. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet.
I love a trusted guide, like the time I climbed to Machu Picchu on the Inca Trail with a team of Sherpas. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So find your Sherpa at ZocDoc.com. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookclub and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Slay. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZOCDOC.com/bookclub. ZocDoc.com/bookclub.
Ditch the talk.
Should we talk about the time that Seth Rogen shits his pants?
Oh, like in front of his future wife?
Yeah.
Is this when he has the crazy whopper?
No. He gets back from like a bachelor party in Mexico or something. And he like ate lettuce that was washed.
Oh, and it's like so the classic like Montezuma's Revenge story about how you're not supposed to drink the water and then you do.
Yeah, but I think he was like not really experiencing any stomach pain. And then he just like in the morning after his future wife was like getting ready. And he was like, I always walked her to her car every morning.
Yeah, the walking to the car thing was a little random.
And he kept on saying how like, awesome it was that she picked him up from the airport.
And then he like was like trying to fart and he just shit his pants like. And then he had to walk her to the car. And that's when he knew that he was going to marry her.
Because he was like, one day I'm going to tell you the story about how I shot my pants while I was walking in the car and you didn't know. Would you like also keep it a secret and still do your weird like early dating ritual of walking her to the car?
I mean, I've shit my pants while in a relationship.
Was she there?
No, she wasn't.
Okay.
Okay.
But you eventually told her?
Yeah. I don't think I told her right away, but sometime. I did eventually tell her.
Do you want to go into the context at all?
Yeah.
And again, okay, not okay. Surprise.
Okay. Well, so my story, it was not Montezuma's Revenge. I was living in Germany and I had eaten, I think I was cooking chicken and I had like not swapped the utensils while going from like raw ingredients to tasting.
Oh shit.
Anyway, I got insane food poisoning that put me in the hospital for 3 days.
Oh god.
So it was like really bad. And then it was like a full like week later, and it was the first time I'd like left the house, and I like went over to a friend's house and I was like, I'm fine. It's been like 5 days since I was in the hospital for my like raw chicken. And then I was like, oh, something's wrong. And so I was just like, excused myself from the party and then walking home in the freezing cold Berlin winter. It just happened.
Outside.
So you were layered up, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Were you in long underwear?
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
Okay. Actually, though, I feel like that's better because then it's not... Am I dripping
in.
Down?
Right. So it's better that you weren't wearing these linen summer pants.
Or like, drifty, I feel like Seth drifty. Seth was probably wearing like huge cargoes.
Yeah.
If you're going to show yourself, you don't want to be wearing boot cut.
Yeah. You don't want this like this no. big flare that everything can just fly out of. Ideally, you actually do want to be in long.
You were dressed for shitting your pants.
Did you throw it all out?
Yes. I don't think the pants had to go because of the long underwear.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Note for winter. Always wear long underwear.
In case you shit your pants.
In case you shit your pants. Dope story.
Dope advice.
And that's when I fell in love with the country of Germany.
So what I do love about this book is that he is a little bit more honest about like celebrity interactions, and he's telling stories about other celebrities that aren't just fawning like praise of them, like that are actually kind of like stories that other celebrities would be embarrassed by.
He's not name dropping. He's just like
dish. He really is dishing. In a straight guy way. It's like if Janice Dickinson is like, oh, and then I fucked this photographer. He's like, here's the thing, dude. Like, Nick Cage is so weird and just tells the story about how Nick Cage like wanted to play like a Caribbean character.
To do this like Caribbean accent and like had this whole like Caribbean character ready to go. And he like does that when he comes over, and then they're just sitting there. Wait, does anyone have the scene?
I think.
Oh, you guys don't have books. You're just like.
Wait, no, I do. I have like notes in my Kindle.
And so, like, he wants it for the Green Hornet, or is it a different movie?
Yeah, I think it's the villain in the Green Hornet.
And Nick Cage is just like, I have this amazing, and Amy Pascal, that famous like. Producer.
She was the one who got like canceled.
Really good friends with Amy Beck. Yeah, she's the one who in all those emails like said that Angelina Jolie was a monster and was just like such it's like so impossible to work with, and yeah. was just like, oh, like I can't deal with like Angie's bullshit anymore. I mean, she sounds really fabulous.
But it sounds like
her and Seth are pretty good friends, and he is always like kind of deferring to her and her judgment, and she just kind of like rule him with an iron fist.
Yeah, this book surprised me in the way where it's like I thought he didn't tell like any stories about Freaks and Geeks or like Knocked Up. It was much more of like the production side where he was like, yeah, and then like we met with this action star, and then like Tom Cruise was a fucking weirdo.
There was like no transition to success. It was just like,
yeah,
he was just in high school like being a stand-up comedian, and then it was like he moved to LA, and then it was like jump 10 years later, and he's like meeting with Tom Cruise.
Okay, wait, here's this scene with
there
Nick
was no
Cage.
Like big break moment.
So like Amy Pascal like has him come over, and she's just being like, you need to be with Nick Cage. If he can be in this movie, then the movie's gonna like do really well in Asia, because like he tests really well and he's like a huge star, so like you have to cast him in this movie and like give him whatever he wants. And so they meet, and he's like, and he's telling this in like a very like straightforward way. He's like, Cage just goes, all right, this is how I picture it. You're the Green Hornet, and you're tied up, and I'm dumping pig's blood on you in some, like, creepy voodoo ritual. And Seth is like, keep in mind there's no scene in the screenplay that even remotely resembles this. But honestly, maybe there should have been. Then he did it. Cage, in a Jamaican-sounding accent. Hello, British. Wait. Hello, Green Hornet, wag man. When you wear this mask, came man. When this be man. Why you hide in your face, man? I'll kill you, Hornet. He stopped and stood there as if he was expecting a rapturous round of applause. There wasn't. Everyone looked to me to say something.
You doing this accent, by the way?
Yeah, maybe that's not what we were picturing. Nick was visibly devastated by the lack of enthusiasm, and it quickly got very awkward. And then he obviously doesn't do the movie and, like, doesn't sign on. And then, like, 3 years later, like, sets up this whole meeting at a restaurant with him, and then just accuses him of telling James Franco about this idea, and therefore that's how like James Franco got his idea for his character in Spring Breakers.
Yeah.
Which like absolutely makes no sense at all.
Because no,
James Franco doesn't
do
a Jamaican accent in Spring Breakers.
Also, it's just so completely insane. Nick Cage is just at home spiraling that like Seth Rogen sold his idea to James Franco.
I mean, that actually does make a lot of sense that Nick Cage
he's so like emotional, and he's just there being like, oh.
But you know what it also reminded me of is, remember how that insane movie, The Counselor, that originally Cameron Diaz's character has a Bahamian accent, and they had to dub the entire movie afterwards because they were like, this is insane. And this movie's already... That's the movie where she fucks a car, remember? And it's like with Michael Fassbender.
Oh, yes. She fucks
that movie's the... completely
insane. That movie's insane.
And it's about just like a drug cartel. It's like so random. And it's, like, it's very like... So I'm sure it won like so many Razzies.
How much would you pay to see the undubbed?
I would kill to see the original. of her doing this heavy Bahamian accent throughout the entire film.
Okay, to our white hat hacker listeners, please break into Sony and find the undubbed version.
White hat? I thought that was like, oh, that's white helmets. What's white hat? I was
a white hat is like a white hat is like a good hacker.
Okay. And a black hat is like that movie with
it's a bad hacker.
Robert Pattinson.
Black hat?
Yeah. Is that about hacking? I think it is.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, we'll fact check that later.
I wanted to talk about this part where he's being so Tiger King and saying it's like fucked up to abuse animals, but I want to call him out for being like a hypocrite. Do you guys know what part I'm talking about?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Lily.
When does he abuse animals? Oh, you mean like on set?
No, he like has a movie where he like hires this tiger trainer and he like ends up, the tiger's really treated badly and he ends up like, this tiger trainer is not in business anymore and he like goes on such a thing and like how it's so fucked up to like be this evil tiger trainer. But he is being so Hollywood in this like interaction where he's like is needing tigers for his movie and like
right
to the trainer right. He's being like, dude, just tell me it's gonna be safe, and then obviously the guy is just like lying to him,
right? And it's like, well, you business. Wrote a tiger into a film and like you're the reason that this guy like has a business.
So,
and then you're putting tigers in a movie, which makes like so many more like whatever like badass Nick Cages like want to adopt a tiger and be so Justin right. Bieber and like have a monkey as a pet that they like forget about and like dies like in an airplane wing or something.
And then he regretted it and he donated quote a large sum of money to an anti-tiger.
To just like
foundation.
I mean, the thing about anti-tiger foundations is this is what Tiger King revealed, is that it's like it's the same exact thing. It's just a different zoo that calls itself a sanctuary. It's just like still a zoo, y'all.
So you're calling out animal sanctuaries as zoos.
I'm calling out Carol Baskins as being like yes. No different than Tiger King.
Who on the homepage of my new Discovery Plus subscription has her own show about trying to shut down like Tiger Kings.
I bet Seth Rogen is gonna like
produce
lock
hers.
Arms with her and produce her because he's such a champion of like tigers' rights and female tigers' rights.
I was jealous because he mentions meeting Marcel, the monkey from Friends.
Oh, that is the kind of a dream meeting.
I know.
But then he made it sound so scary.
Is Marcel still alive?
I'm sure Marcel has passed by now.
Wait, what? Why was it scary?
Because the trainer was like, if you laugh, the monkey will bite your nose off.
That is scary.
Okay, so as a listener of the pod, I've noticed that you said all celebrities talk about how skinny they were as a kid.
Yeah.
And Seth Rogen does not.
There is a part where he's just being like, I was such a like puny shrimp, and these other guys, like when he talks about like being so scared or like walking on the train tracks and people are going to beat him up and shit.
But he was saying he was like big. He was like, I was taller than everyone and I was chubby. But he was being like, I was weirdly amazing at karate.
Yeah, I guess maybe you're that's... right. Okay, no, he isn't actually being like, I'm so thin and tall and tiny.
But
and...
maybe there's like this straight guy version of, instead of being like, I was so like skinny and awkward, he's just being like, I guess I was randomly just like really good at karate and really good at fighting and just like... So random. I'm just like really strong and
just like
good
an
at karate.
Yeah, he does do the same where he's like, and it turns out, dude, the type of like karate I was learning was like so much crazier. And he's like, my teacher was a fucking the most badass dude I've ever met. And he like, it's a much more like no rules karate that he learns. Which is like his teacher was like, go for the eyes, like do everything. Where I feel like some karates are a little more.
What
reserved.
Belt did you get to, Lily?
I think I got to purple or blue.
Is that good?
It's like, you're not in... This is one of my biggest regrets that I didn't keep on, because I feel like I would have been black belt by now if I like stayed with
30
it.
Years later, you just get your black
I love
belt.
The idea of you at this just like fully children's dojo, and it's all these 13-year-olds doing their like black belt ceremony, and you're just like... Finally getting black belt at 35.
No, I think it would have happened later at the process, the speed I was going through. I feel like I was at the end. I was like six belts in. And then I feel like there's five belts in the middle.
Well, it's
I
not
could
too
have
late.
Been someone. Could have been a fighter. Well, there is
could
karate
have been a
lessons.
Contender.
I saw a sign for karate lessons in the basement of my apartment building.
That you take in the basement?
I guess so.
Basement living, girlfriend not having, karate taking, black belt finally achieving at 40.
And it's me with like all these 8-year-olds.
Well, Seth Rogen just got into pottery at 39, and therefore I think it's not too late for you to
pursue that.
Pursue karate.
This belt. Have you guys seen, what do you guys think of his vases, his pottery?
I mean, they're very current. I mean, it's like all, you know, the pastels.
I like them.
Yeah. The pattern was actually a little less minimal than I thought. I was a little bit pleasantly surprised. Like the busyness of the like terrazzo on the...
It's not giving Pier 1.
No, it's not giving Pier 1 for sure. But again, it's... he has just like... He hired some graphic designers and like branding people who work on this stuff all the time. So...
You don't think that's his like from his heart?
Whoa,
that's the
you think
that
it's,
he makes?
He has a whole fucking team? It's not like coming from his...
Of course,
wow, I guess I'm so naive.
You are so jaded. Why can't this big Jewish stoner make authentic pottery?
Thank you, Daniel.
What do you mean? It's not inauthentic just because he has like two agencies like working on this brand.
I mean, I think for his weed brand, there's definitely like so many marketing agencies and so many Stevens, yes, like deciding what word.
That's what I was talking about. I was talking about like, oh, his, like he just came out with like an ashtray and like a rolling tray and like a bong and like a paper dispenser. And it's all of this just like very, you know.
Oh, yeah. That has two agencies.
Palette.
I was talking about he posts just
Houseplant.
Like.
Over the last year, he was just posting his like, I'm learning pottery.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, that is more whatever, like divorce, wine mom, fine. Can have his pottery moment. I guess. Yeah, I don't think he's lying about that. Okay. We were talking about two different things.
Okay, heard.
That got tense.
Miscommunication on his project.
Yeah. I'm talking about the commercial brand that,
yes,
he is like rolling
right
out.
That right absolutely now is like, yes, so many awesome, they're blazing.
Which
so
is a,
hard.
Which is, as he describes it, a lifestyle brand rooted in cannabis.
Obviously this book, but I didn't realize like, yeah, like how many chapters. We're just gonna be a full chapter about like him and his friend getting lost. In Amsterdam.
Like a totally epic story where like somebody's crazily high and then I had to tell the waiter. And you're like, okay. And then everyone's totally fine at the end. And then it's, yeah, it's also like, I mean, straight guys all have like a thing where they go to Amsterdam and they're just like, dude, and she pulled a dildo out of the closet. And it's really like, yeah, I guess that happens. I mean, did you have anything crazy happen to you in Amsterdam?
Well, we went to Amsterdam together.
Yeah, and it wasn't so like...
I don't think anything
happened.
Wait, it wasn't like you guys ate a magical cookie and then like met a sex worker, which again is a cool thing to do.
Which I totally support.
Oh, yeah, but this is, he was like, porn is cool, but then he was like, but then he was kink shaming.
Is step related. I mean, that is a lot of the porn that I'm seeing.
It's all of the porn.
And then again, just being like, and it's not cool that the word oriental is used a lot in porn titling. And it's like, do you even need to be interjecting this, Seth?
I'm like, is that him? Is that the editor? I kind of feel like it's Seth.
No, I definitely think it's him. You know, he's a modern.
I mean, it's also as to be like the stoner
total
straight
fucking
guy.
Feminist stoner, dude.
You have to kind of prove yourself a little more extreme to be this feminist than like... Since he is, like, he doesn't want to be, like, such Fred Durst bros Woodstock 99.
Right. Is Fred Durst famously, like, not a feminist?
I would
noted
say so.
Non-
yeah,
no
noted
non-feminist,
non-feminist
Fred Durst. Okay.
I think she's just meaning, like, you know, in the past, stoner culture, it was a total boys' club.
Right, boys' club. Guys listening to Limp Bizkit mean, like, yeah, what a stupid whore. Like, let's smoke more. And he's trying to be, like, it's a little rhyme I made up.
Stupid
whore,
smoke more.
More.
Stupid whore, smoke more. Yeah, but, you know, it's like his sort of, like, banal observations on porn were amusing and kind of a... in a nice way. I was just like, oh, I could even be reading a McSweeney's article right now.
No, like Seth Rogen do be a comedian. And I was lolling at this book.
Yeah, we like, talking I about was... how just like the opening credits for Cum Dumpsters 2 had like a 9/11 like in memoriam note.
And that's our generational divide, that he was like just too old to have internet porn.
Yeah.
And it was like this whole saga for them to like track down a right. Playboy, and it's just like,
and
I
then he
can't.
Had this wet Playboy that I'd like when
oh
he
that was so
like,
funny
drying out the wet Playboy calling it porn jerky.
Yeah, I mean I really loved
these
at
individual
that.
Pages. It's a good metaphor, some good writing in here.
Yeah, funny stuff. So yeah, you know, funny book, he's a funny guy.
Celebrity Book Club.
Dude, you want to hit this segment bong?
Oh, yeah.
What does she eat?
What does she wear?
How does she live, man?
Well, I hope she fucking smokes.
Okay, what does she eat? Dude,
does she
fucking
eat
everything.
Okay, I did see the episode of the Dave Chang show with where Seth, they go to eat Chinese food in Vancouver.
Wow.
Oh,
chronic heterosexuality.
Well, except remember Tegan and Sarah from Vancouver, but getting bomb Vancouver Chinese food, David Chang.
I mean, it was. What,
I don't think Seth. I don't think Tegan and Sarah really take away from David Chang and Seth Rogen's performance of heterosexuality by nature of them being Canadian.
How could they be straight?
There's two gay Canadians.
Two
small.
No. I was at another point,
region.
But it, I thought you were saying getting Chinese food in Vancouver is so straight.
I just mean for their genre of man. I think that
totally.
Is a very straight thing to do. Well, wait, was there some insight onto what he eats? Because I just feel like he's a kind of an Aziz. Like, he's just like, give me everything. Like, let me have the triple stack burger.
I felt like he was a little less that than I thought he was going to be. And I feel like the exciting place he took David Chang to was like to get fresh donuts at the Fisherman's.
Oh, Palace. Well, that's so stoner to be like, he's much more bacon maple chai donut than he is, I think, like pork char siu. Dumplings
or well I guess my other
flakes.
Question to this is, and as someone of Jewish dietary experience, you know this, but is he a afraid of dairy and a afraid of spicy things?
He definitely, I feel like, doesn't he say that he...
oh wait, in the beginning of the book he talks about how he was allergic to like wheat, soy, dairy.
Yeah,
he
his parents didn't let him eat
but
any
that was
food
because
for,
they like heard from some weird doctor that he shouldn't have like this, a weird list of things because he had some like allergic reaction or
no,
something.
No, because it caused his ADD or
oh,
something.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
so
milk
was like,
caused his ADHD.
Yeah. That was just like some random, like, absolute, like, Marianne Williamson, like, quack that they just, like, listened to briefly in his childhood. But I don't think that's actually...
I feel like he does not eat dairy.
Just like a normal Jewish young man is probably has some lactose issues.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he does love in, like, a man way a braised meat, but I also feel like he's, like, less snobby than as an Aziz type. Like, he's
for
less,
sure.
Like, we need to try out this new restaurant.
But he gets the jalapeno whopper, so that's why I don't think he's afraid of spicy food. Then he famously, like, has a seizure on a plane, but it's actually just him, like, falling asleep and kind of sweating, and yeah. They, like, weirdly call, like, the medical emergency team to arrive with a wheelchair when the plane lands.
Yeah, the kid's mind is, like,
through the terminal.
Forgetting that he, like, can't do spicy a little bit. Like, yeah, and then just be like, oh, why did I do this to myself?
Do you think that his house is very stocked in, like, a normal celebrity way where they're taking this cereal out of the cereal box and putting it in a big plastic airtight bin, and the pantry has, like, six bins of, like, Frosted Cheerios, Honey Nut Cheerios, like, Frosted Mini Wheats?
I feel like he's eating healthy these days. You know what I mean?
He's
in
that GQ spread. He's, like, he's getting up in age. Definitely now he's, like, drinking a juice and being like, can't believe I'm fucking doing this, dude. Yeah, to me, it's like he still has his stoner snacks, but maybe they're getting a little weirder and like a little more Daniel, actually. Like, I found in my cabinet that portobello jerky, Daniel, that you bought, which is so random.
But that was kind of, I bought that as a laugh.
I guess you bought that. Oh, I still haven't tried that. I don't think that he's as adventurous as we are. I just want to say, like, A, he's not as a foodie as we are. He's not as pretentious. And I don't think he's, like, cares about restaurants as much. But, like, B, wow, I don't think that he's being so, like, oh, this is a really interesting new snack. Like, we're always excited by new snacks and new flavors of chips. And, like, I think that that element of his stonerdom has, like, disappeared.
I guess I meant his wife is probably stalking with some weird, like, Seth, try these cacao chips. Do you think she's trying to get him off the stuff?
Yeah.
Like off the
Cheetos? You think that every wife in the world is trying to get their husband to try cacao chips?
I mean, he did say that he's been the same weight since 2008.
Same.
And people keep telling him that he lost a bunch of weight. And he's like, I can't decide if that's like a compliment or an insult.
Wait, like the part where he realizes that his friend had cancer because he's just like, he looked like shit all the time. And we always made fun of him. He always had like yellowing skin and was always like his back was hurting. Turns out he had this crazy spinal tumor.
Okay, when I read that, I was like, okay, I need to go to the doctor because my back is always hurting. And
no, I was terrified.
My skin is looking a little...
No, I know. My skin has been like so bad lately. I was like, oh, cool. So I actually do have cancer.
I'm less spiral.
Oh, you feel great. Oh, Lily doesn't have cancer. Oh, congratulations. Oh, the one person on the pod without cancer. Must be all the weed you're smoking.
Well, my cancer risk actually was just heavily reduced. So maybe that's why
Fuck
I'm on a high.
Yes.
Okay, hell
I'm
yeah.
I'm getting top surgery tomorrow. Okay, what does she wear?
I mean, now he is being, cardigans. I mean, he's wearing like an eco-friendly hoodie, like at home. That's like pale
but
pink.
But he's more just like, dude, like kind of like not totally into like hype clothing, but like
almost
halfway there.
But like, he's a little bit 70s. I mean, post this GQ shoot, it was suddenly everyone was like, excuse me, I didn't realize
hottest
Seth Rogen was zaddy.
Yeah.
There was like that day that came out, my feed was just like everyone
zaddy,
being like,
yes.
Seth Rogen, so hot.
I mean, like, GQ was just like, no, let's put Jonah Hill and Seth Rogen in different 70s looks with tinted sunglasses, and it made people horny.
And I think that, he has like a Pendleton shirt, and like, I think maybe like some, you know, streetwear brand, like what's that brand, like Chinatown Market is sending him like some long sleeves, and then
maybe
he's like
a Noah.
Yeah, Noah is absolutely sending him like some pants, and he's just like, yeah, cool. These are cool. Yeah, sure.
He's being very twee. Like,
yeah. And he's wearing like loafers.
Yeah, he like just got into loafers and he was like, oh, these are kind of comfy.
Yeah. But I don't think he's not being Jonah Hill where he's just being like, dude, I fucking love what Noah is doing this season.
Like, no, yeah, he's not dropping being like, fucking like this Lanvin jersey is like epic. I feel like he's getting the clothes and is a little more in the way that like he had.
Wow, this is a really nice sweater, huh? I guess there is a difference between an $800 sweater and a $200 sweater.
Okay, I feel like this thing happened. Do you remember when Adam Sandler kind of had like some GQ shoots surrounding Uncut Gems, and he was doing like kind of 70s Italian style?
Yeah,
and everyone was like,
leather blazer.
Adam Sandler zaddy. And then there was this moment he went to like one award show and he kept wearing that, and everyone was like, oh, I guess he's gonna have good style now. And then it was like 1 week later, he was back to
just
like
gym shorts,
huge
big
basketball
carbs.
Just
shorts.
Like, yeah.
So I feel like this thing happens when you, as a man, when you get styled for a photo shoot, where you can just be like, this is now my style. Seth Rogen is in that period where he's being like, I am wearing cool twee 70s cardigans, and that is my style.
Yeah.
I am a style icon.
And he's getting styled for the houseplant shoot.
And like when those clothes run out, he may just go back to just like comfy t-shirt with a cool picture.
No, and I think like unsupervised, like he may absolutely go back to a t-shirt with,
but as we said, he's smart, so he could, maybe he'll go twee forever and age gracefully into a
age tweefully
stoner
into a 70s stoner
a twatty, a twizzati.
Who would you rather, Jonah, Seth?
Are you kidding?
Is that a joke?
No. I guess
you really are you blind?
I mean, obviously it's Seth.
Yeah.
Okay, careful what you say. Jonah is very sensitive.
I know he's sensitive. I'm just like, Seth is objectively hotter.
Right. I guess some people like would, though, out there. I don't know.
Okay, who would you rather? Beanie Feldstein or Monica Lewinsky?
Monica.
Monica.
Monica. We know the work she does. Though Beanie actually is a lesbian, so...
Your chances are slightly higher.
My chances are higher at getting Beanie Fiddlestein.
Just a smidge. Just a smidge. Okay, how does he larve?
I think...
Do you think he's so, like, now that he's so, like,
he's kind of low bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was about to say koi pond. I feel like he is in this
fucking
way of him
awesome dudes, like,
embracing, like, his, like, you know, more millennial, more branded stonerism is, like, stoner is about being calm. Like, stoner is about being minimal and Japanese and, like...
I was going to say, I'm getting a Japanese vibe, and I feel like he has this amazing pool, and he's just like, yup, I mean, the pottery pretty studio, dope. Yeah. But pottery studio.
Say that he does not have a Buddha.
No Buddha.
Like, he just is, he's there, but just in a different way.
He definitely does not.
Like,
have
someone,
a
like the decorator, yeah, is being like, do you want this Buddha?
And
that,
I think,
like,
he said, nah, dude. I'm sure he's actually being like, I actually don't think that's pretty, like, culturally sensitive for me. So I'm going to pass, but thanks, though. I mean, he would have, like, a fucking awesome sword that he got on a trip to Japan.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's, you know, he has some, like, comfortable, it is stoner stuff, but it's, like, muted colors.
I feel like he's always on a low couch, leaning over a low table, rolling a joint on tasteful pottery.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
low,
it.
Low, 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 low.
I almost feel like
his office
would have,
is messy.
Like, the house we would like the most.
I know. No, I'm like picturing my dream house right now. I'm just like this
same,
really fucking cool,
like,
sunken living room, like mid-century
Japanese
Los Angeles.
The
home.
Sunken is like carpeted, and then
but
it's like
still cozy. It's not so cold and minimal in this way. It's like,
it's a tie between his house and Ulysses S. Grant's house.
Oh, you yeah, know that house was cozy AF, dude.
Fire roaring, man, like the dope motherfucker.
Because I think that he's left a lot of the original, like, you know, those LA houses where it's just like, yeah, like they have the mid-century brick fireplaces, like, kind of the focal point of the center, and it's like, I think that's still the original brick. Like, he didn't do such a, like, you know, Tarek and Christina makeover of, like, painting it white and, like, with
I could see people coming over and they're like showing him ideas and his wife, and he's like, dude, no.
Yeah, dude,
that part
no,
of the house is awesome. Why would I ever
awesome,
get rid of that?
I have this fucking sick bar from the 60s. Like, I yeah, feel like James Bond. Why would I change this?
Okay, he's our best friend.
We love you, Seth.
Love Seth. Okay, who is thou in the book? Well, Daniel, you're Seth.
You're Seth.
You're giving Seth.
Are you... I mean, I feel like I have definitely Seth energy to me sometimes. I don't think
well,
I'm
Seth
as...
Seth is spoken for. Sounds like you're Miss Lauren over here, like, throwing cacao nibs at everyone.
Hey, guys, you want to try this?
I don't know. Or are you... No, you're the evil... am I the evil rich man in Vancouver that his dad, like, yells at?
Oh, yeah. And then, like... I mean, honestly, you're a little more vibe of maybe, like, the dad...
Or am I Amy Pascal being like, just fucking take the meeting?
Right. Nick Cage does really well overseas.
I don't care if he wants to do a Jamaican accent. You're hiring him.
Not to put you in a box even, but did you think he said the word gay in this book once?
I didn't necessarily read it.
I don't remember him ever talking about gay people. Which is cool, finally.
Maybe he's just never met a gay person, and that's fine.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, Canadians are all a little bit gay. And so maybe it's just like, he doesn't even think it's that big of a deal.
I was trying to think what gay person he would have even, like, been talking about.
Oh my God, so. You know was... Okay, you know who you are, Lily? You're him, you're Seth, and the friend at that moment when they're walking with the other friend, and, like, the guy's going to beat them up on the train tracks.
and then
he's like, will you guys help me? And they're just like, nope. And they just keep walking.
Wow, red table, you think I'm that, like, disloyal?
I think that you would absolutely not fight. You would absolutely walk away from a fight.
I mean, randomly, she's actually really good at karate.
And yeah, yeah, dude, I'm like a black belt. But
well,
also,
I guess I'm just saying I've never really seen you bust out that lavender belt or whatever.
The lavender karate belt. Okay, I think, okay, this would happen to me, though, where I'd be, like, hanging out with someone I found kind of annoying in high school, but, like, couldn't admit it, and then I would ditch. at like last minute.
Absolutely.
But if it was one of my close friends, I would stay.
Well, it wasn't a close friend, but
that's what I'm saying. So if it was someone I thought was annoying, I would be like, weird. I have to go do homework. Bye.
The way I just don't even think you would, even if it was a close friend. Like someone's coming to beat me up, you're like putting up your dukes.
Well, yeah, but is it like a huge man? If it was, you know what I mean?
No. Well,
oh, so it's like a 7-year-old girl comes to beat me up. You're like, yeah, I'd fucking take her on.
I feel like you were once beaten up by a pair of women.
Well, there was some women, and one of the many times that I've been assaulted, there was a gang of teens, and I think it was a man who punched me, but there were several girls with him.
So it's not. I think Lily's question is valid.
Yeah.
What?
It depends, who is beating
you
up.
And in that situation, you would have run. Okay. I give this book, honestly, I'll give it like 3.5 puffs of a joint. Like, there's some fun essays in here. Skip around. Like, it was not a slog by any means. It wasn't brilliant. Maybe 3 out of 5.
I'm giving it 3.3 out of 5 bong rips, just because, like, I was actually, like, audibly LOLing at parts. It also has that vibe where you can just pick it up from any chapter, which is kind of fun.
You know, I love that in a book.
So that's cool. And the audio is fun. Yeah, I mean, it was like I wasn't like crying laughing, but I was definitely laughing.
I'm giving it 420.
No.
Nice.
Nothing but nut. Well, listen, Dan, thank you so much for coming
on our
little podcast.
It was honestly a privilege.
Such a joy and a pleasure to have you move from friend to colleague. Do you have anything that you want to plug for our listeners? You've got a lot of techno heads in the audience, so make it count.
Nothing comes to mind.
Okay. No upcoming gigs that might be happening in like 3 weeks or something.
On December 18th, come to Nowadays.
Huge. The way people are flipping through their little notebooks right now, being like circling the 18th with a Sharpie. And where can it follow you at physical therapy? Just like all the spots, you know?
Twitter, SoundCloud, Instagram, SoundCloud, Bandcamp.
Support our artists.
Bandcamp Day.
Bandcamp Friday. Okay,
all proceeds go to artists, but
90% of proceeds go to local
buy
artists.
Buy Daniel's
funds.
Album, Car Culture, or stream it, dude. It's available on Spotify. I blasted vinyl side because I'm old school like that, and it's a pretty cool album.
Okay. Yeah, not everyone can afford a vinyl player. It just made me be a little bit mindful of that.
And Daniel did escort me nicely to the purchase of my record player, so I wasn't murdered.
Where did you buy it? On the train tracks in Vancouver?
Basically in a parking lot in MassPeth.
Scary.
Yeah.
I don't even have a black belt, so.
Wow. And you were a supportive friend in that situation. And there you were, terrified, Lily.
I wasn't terrified, dude. Anyway, look, Daniel, awesome sauce. Epic.
Awesome. Epic to you guys.
Next week, we are reading...
No Reservations.
It's no Reservations.
That. We are reading the iconic book, Kitchen Confidential, by Anthony Bourdain.
Because it's fucking heterosexual month here at
BC. Yeah, you've had enough chicks, okay? It's time for guy stuff.
Man the fuck up. Read along or don't.
Get a baguette.
Into restaurant mode. Fuck a chef.
Fuck in the walk-in freezer. Okay. If you are a Patreon subscriber, stick around for the VIP lounge. If you are not a Patreon subscriber, get yourself the fuck to Patreon.com.
Literally, get on the goddamn list. Go to Patreon.com/CBCThePod for $5 a month. You will get access to a secret segment every single week. That is a ton of extra content every month. And honey, it's a great deal. Best.
Celebrity Book Club.
Hello, hello out there in Radio Land.
Hello, Seattle. Welcome to WCWWCBCXYTGS.
It is so beautiful to be here on another slamming Thursday morning, 5 a.m. traffic on the I-7 all the way out to Tacoma. I hope you have packed a goodie bag of Gorp because you're going to be digging into it as you sit in traffic, ladies, on the way to your amazing job at a laboratory.
It is 63 degrees, but looks like we got some rain coming in, which is a good thing that you're going to be going into Microsoft or Amazon or a lab or any of the tech companies. Oh, look, looks like we got an accident on, wait, what's the famous Seattle?
What, roadway?
Landmark. No,
the Space Needle?
The Space Needle. The Space Needle has fallen, and we got a big accident. So,
oh, you're Dak. You're real
Dak. I'm Dak. Okay, no, that's too far. City's fallen.
I mean, ultimately, it's an uninhabited structure, so it's okay. It's not like there's a ton of office workers in there.
Right. That's why I thought it'd be kind of a safe joke to make.
Totally safe joke. Doesn't evoke 9/11 at all.
No, not at all. Hello, Club Kids. Welcome
Welcome to
the secret segment.
Another VIP lounge. Welcome to the VIP lounge. Where all the nastiness really goes down and we can finally let our hair down and tell you what we really think.
I'm almost afraid for how crazy this is going to get. We're going to talk about our first topic is names.
Okay, so this came up because we were talking about a name. I was talking to
someone. You're a single gal in New York City.
All right, you're giving too much information, Lily.
That was just a taste of this week's VIP Lounge. To hear the rest of that segment and get another just like it every week, go to patreon.com/cbcthepod and sign up now for only $5 a month.
Celebrity Book Club is presented by Prologue Projects. The show is produced by Meg Murnane with editorial support from... What is his name? Shit. Dude, he's the man. Leon. Dude, I cannot pronounce your last name and I'm not even going to fucking try, but you are the man. Andrew Parsons, my dog from literal middle school. And then that new girl, fuck. Stacey, that's not right. She's so fucking cool. Our production manager is this dope ass chick, Persia Verlin. Like, I don't know, like, what her vibe is, but, like, she walks in a room and you're like, okay, this is, like, the most badass chick I've ever met. Original theme song by yours truly. Artwork by Teddy Blanks at Chips NY. And honestly, like, I'm working on a project with them right now, and they're just super chill to work with. Like, I would recommend them if you ever have any, like, graphic design shit. Because, like, yeah, sorry, like, I'm, you know, what I'm good at some stuff, but, like, I can't do graphic design. These fucking guys, like, do it. Like, they just fucking do it. It's crazy. They're magicians. Like, I'm like, okay, you're fucking Merlin over here. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I know that shit is fucking toxic. Do it anyway, at CBC The Pod. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Leave us a review. And fucking go to our Patreon too. It's also CBC The Pod. You're gonna get extra shit, extra segments every week. And honestly, if you're like me and you just fucking love content, dude, it's a good deal. So rock out with your fucking cock out. I love the shit out of you. See you soon.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.